I am on it. I don't know how I will fix this for you, but just give me an hour. I'm going to check in with my team and I promise to call you back in an hour.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Sandra Bekor. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Sandra. One, she's proud to have contributed a chapter on connecting LinkedIn to your marketing plan. And that's in the second edition of LinkedIn Marketing Techniques, written by Mark Halpert and published by the American Bar Association. And you can see Mark also appearing on this podcast. Two, Sandra is the subject matter expert for the comprehensive on-demand Marketing for Architects course by the Royal Architecture Institute of Canada. And three, when she's not working, Sandra squeaks in as much time as she can to draw expressive, colorful abstracts with any mark-making instrument she can get her hands on, from pens and markers to watercolors. Sandra Bekor, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you so much, George. I'm looking forward to an insightful conversation with you. I love what you're doing with this podcast.
And it's only disappointing that today we won't get to see some of those expressive watercolors, which could be fun at some time. Sandra, you're a marketing specialist, and in particular, you work with small and medium-sized, mainly service firms. And that might include, I'm guessing by your facts, that might include architects, it might include lawyers, it might include accountants.
Correct. Actually includes all professional service firms, including consultants.
Ah, okay. And what do you see often as a common mistake when they first come to you?
You know, it's almost the paradox of the work of professional service firms. Many of them are great communicators. I mean, you know, think about it. Lawyers, they have to write, they have to speak in court, they have to speak in meetings, negotiate. Architects have to present drawings. It's a common thing that professionals have to do. Dentists, they have to explain, what am I going to do to your mouth and why should you pay me thousands for it? But yet, there are so many complaints about communications with respect to professionals. So I dug into it. I was so curious, what is going on here? And I started to unravel the mystery a little bit. I'm sure you know this, George. You've been doing this, Your Intended Message podcast, for so many years, and you slice and dice communication into all the little pieces. But really, that's what this is about. Communication isn't one thing. So just because you're great at doing your presentation, your pitch to your client, well, it doesn't mean that you know how to give someone feedback. And it doesn't mean that you know how to handle conflict. Right? So there are so many different aspects of communication. And, you know, my work is coaching and consulting with small to mid-sized professionals. And very often what we end up talking about is one small situation where communication becomes a stressful point. And, you know, when we unpack it. So, okay, let's talk about, do you need a script? Do you need to role play? Do we need to go back to your goals and understand what you're trying to achieve here? What are the obstacles? And we work it out.
And a couple points you mentioned there intrigued me. One is the mention of the script. There are so many people who avoid the concept of having a script because, well, I don't want to sound rehearsed. I don't want to sound robotic. And what do you say to those objections?
Well, they're right to not want to sound, you know, like that. But you need a starting point. And I have a kind of funny example for you. Like, I believe in writing the script first and then rehearsing it in a safe space. And I have a funny example that has nothing to do with work. Okay. So today I was in the dog park. I went, you know, I'm scared of dogs. I'm 55 year old woman and I'm scared of dogs. Not as bad as I used to be. But anyways, I just remembered the last time I was in this park, this dog almost attacked me. And, you know, it's not an off-leash park and they're supposed to be with their owners not too far away. But I didn't do what I normally do and, you know, kind of run away. This time I said, no. And I just walked ahead, straight ahead. I didn't look at the dog and he didn't bite me. He, you know, and the dog owner was very far away. She couldn't have done anything about it. She was yelling. But I think the point is that tone of voice. And you don't automatically know how to use that right tone of voice. I mean, it took me years of having friends who have dogs teaching me that you can say no. And when I first used to do it, it sounded like, you know, a little girl saying no, 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 you know, and no, that just came out of me like a roar. And the dog knew. He doesn't need to speak English. He knew what I meant. So you have to write a script and that's your starting point and then practice it with situations that are safe. And then eventually you do learn that language that is authentic to you. So that when you go into the real world and use the script, and it's just a starting point, it's not that you're going to stick to that language exactly, but you will actually feel bolstered.
And you're right, the script is a starting point. It's not the only way it needs to be done. And I experienced this recently where I was checking into a resort and I got a ride with another person. And so when the clerk asked me, what's your license number? I said, oh, I didn't drive. I came with someone else. And then the person finished checking me in and then gave me, here's the key for your room and here's the sticker for your car. Right. I just said I didn't have a car.
Right.
But they couldn't change their script.
Interesting.
And so when you work with people and you say, well, here's a suggested script, and then you role play, do you come at them from different directions so that they are actually listening and in the moment?
Yes, and actually, I really want them to take control. So we write out the script together, and then, you know, it's really their script. It's not my script. So if we start playing something out and I'm looking at their face, are you comfortable? Is something not working for you? Let's start again and tell me, why is this not a good replica of the situation you're walking into? And we will, you know, redo it over and over and over and fine tune until it feels natural and comfortable.
Okay, Sandra, I'm intrigued, and let's jump into the fray and let's role play here. Let me be the angry customer. I like that role, you know. If I ever get play on TV, those are the roles I'm gonna submit for. That's what I want to do because I do it so well. Well, maybe not so well, but I enjoy it.
I'm scared. No, so, I'm scared.
so you're representing. Let's say, there's a lot of renovations going on right now. So you're a renovation firm doing some renovations on the house, and here I am on the phone with you and saying, well, I thought your people were gonna show up on Monday, and it's now Tuesday afternoon and they still aren't here and I didn't get any calls. What the hell's the matter with you people?
And I'm going to jump in here as Samantha. Oh, George, I am so glad you told me this happened. You know, this week, things have just gotten out of control with people being sick and having family emergencies. And I didn't realize that this happened this morning. I am on it. I don't know how I will fix this for you, but just give me an hour. I'm going to check in with my team and I promise to call you back in an hour. And then we will discuss what we can do about this.
Okay, now I'm calm.
That's step one. I think that's a great comment, George, that you said, now I'm calm, because the problem didn't go away. But actually, one little part of the problem went away. The customer is no longer angry. And now we can talk about it like civilized adults. And you know, I mean, you work in this communication space. So you know that when people are feeling angry, they're not using their best judgment. And they're not open to rational discussion. You know, if it's really true that I have three people that are out this week with the flu, well, they're out with the flu. I can't fix that, right? But if you're really angry, you're not going to listen to my rational explanation.
And a couple points there that I noticed, Sandra. So one, you acknowledge the situation. You actually express gratitude for me bringing it to your attention. How often does a person ever say, well, thank you for letting me know. I didn't know. So that's positive. So now, oh, you're thanking me. Oh, okay. And you didn't do what often is done, and that is to defend.
Right. Defensiveness is almost the worst thing you can do. You know, even if you're right, and this is one of the things actually keeping yourself calm helps you to not do, and practicing, because then you learn how to not jump to your defense, even when you're right. And, you know, I also bought time. So if I say, okay, I'm going to call you back in an hour, do it. Don't make another mistake and say, I'm going to call you in an hour and not do it. Call them in an hour or in 55 minutes and prepare yourself to not be defensive, even if you're right.
And so you also allowed, okay, I'll call you within an hour. You didn't say that you would have the problem solved within an hour. You simply said you would call within an hour. And good point there, that if you say you're going to call in an hour, don't call in 65 minutes.
Right. They're already mad.
Because
they at least want to know that you're committed to their problem.
And when you call back in that hour, let's say you still haven't got the situation resolved. What do you say then?
Well, I don't know right off the cuff. Let's talk it out, you and I.
Okay, good. Go. Okay, so you haven't been able to get hold. You said you'd get hold of your team. You haven't been able to get hold of the right person on the team for whatever reason. They're not picking up their phone. This is unusual for them, because normally they accept your calls. They don't accept the customer's call, but they accept your call. And so now you are wondering and maybe getting a little angry at them too.
Right.
So how do you control and channel that anger so that it doesn't come out and you attack me when you call me?
Well, I can tell you what I do. I'm not sure what Samantha does in this situation, but what I do is, Sandra, I do actually intentional exercises to keep myself calm before getting into a conversation like this. And I really do find that it helps. So if it's meditation or breathing exercise, or even a very brief yoga technique, you know, like you can take 2 minutes before a phone call. Don't tell me you don't have time, because 2 minutes will make a difference. And literally stand up and then, you know, put your head below your knees and just hang out there. Shake your head, shake your arms, shake it all out and take a few breaths and then make the phone call. And I'm telling you, it's completely different. And if, you know, if you start that phone call, even when you don't have any good news, but you start calm, it's like the client will mirror that calm. And you know, the funny thing is, and George, I'm so interested in your thoughts about this, but when you start with a guilty voice, even if you say exactly the same thing, you say, I checked in with my team, I have disappointing news, but you start with a guilty voice, they're going to pick up on that guilt and they're going to just, they're just going to go right there and it's going to be the worst conversation. But if you start with calm, I did everything I can and you know, it's not working out with the people who were supposed to be there, but I have some ideas and I'm going to speak to a firm that I sometimes go to for support, you know, and we'll see if they are available this afternoon to step in. So I'm going to get back to you again in 2 hours about that other opportunity and no guilt. I am doing my best. It's not perfect, but I am doing my best. I am calm. I am committed. And I think that the client would respond better to that.
Mm. And what I'm also noticing there, it let's say that you did get back within the 55 minutes. So you kept your promise. So as the angry customer, I have to say, well, she kept her promise. She made a promise and she kept it. Okay. So you've bought some credibility and some space with me. Some, you know, she's done what she said she'd do. The key was you didn't promise. You didn't say, I'll have the whole problem solved within an hour. your kitchen will be done.
Right.
Yeah. So don't make silly promises that you can't keep. But make a promise that you can keep and then keep it.
Well, exactly. And I think this actually is where the title of your podcast is so apt, because before you get on the phone call, decide what is your intended message. Decide. Don't just get on there feeling the stress of the situation. We've all been there, you know, having somebody yelling at us, waiting for us, breathing down our back. Take a breath and decide what is your intended message before you make the phone call and stick to it.
Samantha, Sandra, let's take another situation and see what we can do with it. I get to be the bad guy again.
Yeah, you're the bad guy.
I should be wearing black here.
You're having too much fun, George.
So, pricing is something that's we can complain about. What are all these extra charges that are on my bill? And there's codes beside them. I have no idea what they're from. What they're for. I didn't authorize this. Why are these things showing up here? Hope you're not charging me for your photocopy costs or something stupid like that.
Okay, George, I appreciate your concerns and I appreciate your loyalty. You've been with us for a whole year, ever since we started this new business, and it means a lot to us, you know, that you've been with us all this time. And I know we've never had an issue like this before. I have a new bookkeeper and she's just getting up to speed with our invoicing. Let me find out what happened and I will call you back and we will sort this out. Are you around at lunch?
I'll be here. Yep.
All right, great. I'll get back to you.
Ah, wonderful. See, and again, you calmed the situation and you didn't overpromise. You didn't make excuses. And you pointed out, I don't know. I'll have to find out and get back to you. And sometimes that's good enough.
You know, this is such an interesting point. Most professionals are scared to say, I don't know. And it's actually a secret weapon. Just remember that people calm down when they see your own, I don't know, transparency. You know, if you say, I don't know, it doesn't mean you're a failure. It doesn't mean you're not good at your job. It doesn't mean that you're not smart. It means you don't know this exact moment, that specific very thing, right? And you're making a promise that you will go find out from the person who does know and you will get back to them. You didn't lose anything in admitting that you don't know. In fact, the person calmed down because you said that instead of pretending that you know something that you don't know, which would have made it worse.
And I imagine that the phrase, I don't know, is a difficult phrase for anyone to say, because we, especially if we're a service professional and we should know our business, we should know, and to admit that we don't know, is probably a tough a tough change for some people to make. And yet, when you say, well, here's what I do know, here's what I don't know, and you're open and you're being real.
Well, exactly. You're being real. And that's the reason they calm down. You know, when you're being real, that's when trust goes up. Right? Because then people feel it. They know you're not trying to pull a fast one on them. And if you're going to admit that you don't know something, well, now I trust you. I know you're going to be frank with me.
And I also noticed that both times you did not use that ridiculous phrase, calm down.
Yeah, I don't like it when people say that to me, so I'm not going to say it to anybody.
The last thing we're going to do when someone tells us to calm down is to calm down. Right. You can't tell me to calm down. I'll do what I want. I'll be as crazy. You can't order me around. Who do you think you are?
I almost want to say calm down and see what you do with it.
And both times you expressed appreciation for the relationship. I'm glad we're here where we are now. So far, we've had a year together. I'm happy with that, and that you're part of our network, our environment. So that's something positive to say, to recognize the client for as a person and for their value. And you did that both times well.
Thank you. I think that also helps people to know that you're committed, so they don't feel so vulnerable in the relationship. You know, if you're that customer that's looking at their kitchen that nobody showed up to finish the renovation, you are in that moment very vulnerable. And if I, as the renovator, express how important you are to me, how important our relationship is, I think your vulnerability goes down, because you start to realize that this is a relationship of equality. You know, I'm not going to leave you high and dry. I care about this relationship. I'm committed to keeping what we have here going.
And Sandra, when we talk about service firms, professional service firms in general, of course that puts your own firm in that category. And I'm wondering, are there specific challenges or complaints that you've had to manage within your firm at some point? And can you give us an example?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, I've been running this business for over 15 years, and you can't do that without learning how to manage situations. So I think that some of the coaching work I do borrows from my own experiences, you know, not just my curiosity about how this works and best practices, but also my real life experiences. And I have run into situations where a client was very angry about not getting exactly what they wanted at exactly the time that they wanted. In those moments, I did my best to, you know, to rectify the situation. I think the bigger learning that came from that was about managing expectations up front. And that's one of the things that I work with clients on. It's not about the script. This is about, well, it could be a different script, actually. You know, if you're onboarding a client and you're the type that runs into these situations with angry clients over invoices, or angry clients over process, or angry clients because they don't like who they were working with. You know, they want to work with you the whole way through. Well, maybe your biggest job is to onboard the client in a way that they have, you know, a better understanding of how it works at your firm, so that you tell them without the guilty voice. You know, I really think this is so important. It's not just about getting the script right. It's about delivering the script right. So if you say to them, you know, we are so excited to work together, and I want you to meet the team, because this team is going to be working with me on your project. It's not just me. You get all of us. And so do it from a way that's positive and say, I trained them myself. We all follow the process. I'm happy to walk you through our flow chart, you know, and I'm happy to walk you through our job descriptions and everyone's credentials. I want you to understand who works on what our process looks like, and where we depend on you to get back to us on something. And if we don't meet that, you know, timeline, it throws off our whole process. So when you say things like that up front, you are managing the client's expectations. Now, when you run into a problem down the road, you can say, remember when we had that meeting and we talked about how this schedule of, you know, the timeline for when you need to get back to us actually is very important for us meeting our deliverable. And the client will say, yes, I remember. Okay, I accept that I didn't actually get back to you when you needed to. You can have an extra week. That's the kind of thing that happens when you manage expectations up front. And that I learned the hard way.
And it's probably, and that's critical in any relationship, is to manage expectations up front, but certainly in a, from a service provider in terms of providing service, because clients can believe they know how it works. And if you don't clarify that for them, they have a belief in their mind. And when you don't measure up to their belief that they created, lacking enough information, it's too late to fix it then. So set expectations up front. I can see the benefit of that.
Right. And, you know, remember that you know more about your business than they do. You're going to probably make some assumptions that they know this or they know that. They don't. So one of the best practices in management is just to have a consistent onboarding process. Don't leave anything out. Okay. You're better off to have somebody bored in a meeting for 10 minutes than to miss a critical piece of information.
Mm. And Sandra or Samantha, and I know listeners are going to get confused now. Who's on here? It's
Samantha's
Sandra,
the role play.
But yeah, the role play is she's Samantha. But is there a time when dealing with an angry client that it's time to fire them?
Yes, I have actually done this. Oh, and it's so funny because the one time I had to do it, the client came back 2 days later, pretended I did not fire him. He sends me an email saying, where are we with this thing? And I had to fire him again by email this time.
And what are the signals? How do you decide when it's time to fire a client?
Mm-hmm. Well, in my situation, it was over an invoicing issue. And the client didn't pay the bill. I went to see them about it. And, you know, I said, you know what, I understand in the building sector, sometimes, you know, your clients don't pay you and you have to go through the roller coaster. And I just wanted to understand what happened. And he said to me, that's not what happened. I said, okay, so what happened? He said, well, I just wanted to see if the project worked before I paid you. I'm like, those were not the terms. I cannot work with you under this arrangement. Okay. And so I didn't turn it into a big fight. I didn't turn it into, you know, I'm angry with you. I just don't accept that you're not working within our standard terms. We can't work. We've reached an impasse.
And that sounds pretty clear to me. If you told me that, I'd get the message. I'm not going to be emailing you a day later saying, where are we?
Well, there you go. I mean, it was just, you know, an illustration of how he wasn't listening to me. He wasn't listening to me right from the beginning.
And Sandra, if people want to get a hold of you and learn more about your services, who are the type of people that can best benefit from your services?
Well, thank you for that, George. I work with small to mid-sized professional service firms, and that's every sector, lawyers, architects, healthcare providers, accountants, consultants. And I work with typically the owner, but I also work with all the managers. So, you know, sometimes they'll bring on a new partner or a new associate, and they've never managed people before. So there's a learning curve to giving feedback, to doing performance reviews, to coaching people throughout the whole year, them doing the coaching with their team. And there's also the marketing side. So we do both marketing and management, coaching and consulting.
And people who want to know more, they can find the website at bechor.ca, and you can find that link in the description below. And Bechor is BEKHOR, and that's .ca. Sandra, just before we wrap up, if you could sit down with a leader of a professional service firm and who's having customer relation issues, problems, and they suspect that maybe their people, their team is not talking well, they're not playing well with customers.
Right.
If you could give that leader of the team one, two, or three pieces of advice to get them going in the right direction, what might be that one, two, or three pieces of advice?
Well, the first thing would be bring a modern mindset to your team management, as opposed to doing the old school way, which would have been, you know, showing up at a meeting and telling them that you're angry because you're losing customers because they don't know what they're doing and they're blowing it. So instead of doing that, just do what you need to do to calm yourself down before you go and talk to your team, and go into it like a scientist. Like a scientist, scientists are curious. They you know what? A scientist loves it when they're wrong because they learned something. Oh, cool. I found something out. They don't bring ego to it. They just want to know. They want the discovery. So you go into your meeting like a scientist and say, it's interesting. Our clients aren't happy with this particular thing. I want us to figure this out together. Everybody, go check out your records. If you have any, you know, data on your past phone calls, and let's come together and brainstorm this problem. And that way, everybody feels like they're respected and you're going to set them up to succeed. The other thing I would say is consider your own accountability in this. You know, if your team is failing in something that actually is part of their job, well, were they trained? Do they know it's part of their job? Is it in their job description? Do they have proper processes? Has anybody shown them how to do it? You know, and so take responsibility for your piece of it.
Positive advice. My guest today is Sandra Bechor, reminding you that sometimes it's perfectly okay to say, I don't know, but I'll get back to you.
Exactly. Well said, George.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.